Wanna get started?
Let's get started. Yeah.
Okay. You start.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, hi. Welcome to this episode. I'm Abigail. I'm one of your hosts for today.
I'm Liv, also the other host.
And joining us today is our friend, Gordon. Gordon, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, hi. I'm Gordon. I think a little intro would probably be, I'm Gordon Freem from Portland, Maine. And I am currently a student at the University of Michigan for Naval Architecture and Marine Engineering. And I'm going to talk about kind of how I found out my passion, for the ocean and how I kind of incorporated my passion for the ocean into a career.
Awesome. That's exciting.
Like Moana.
Yes. Except like ocean. Building real boats and not Moana boats.
And no singing, I'm assuming?
No singing. No singing. That's no singing. That's a no. Actually, maybe a little singing.
Okay. Maybe a little bit on the left, okay. Along the way.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you talk about being from Maine.
Yeah.
I assume that has some part of it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so, like, being raised on the coast, I live, like, probably... I live, like, 3 minutes from the beach. So, it's very, very fortunate to be able to grow up with such a connection to the ocean, just being localized... right next to the ocean, and growing up just on the ocean over the summer and the winter, basically, doing all my activities basically on the ocean or near the ocean.
So, what are those activities?
So I think like probably the first thing I really started doing was like summer camps, sailing. I've done a lot of sailing. My parents met sailing. My whole family's into sailing. My parents, actually, fun fact, my parents met Key West Race Week.
Oh, really?
In Key West, sailing. Yeah, and my dad was on an opposing boat racing against my mom. And then...
Meet cute.
Yes. Yeah, and so they met sailing, and then they kind of forced me into it at first. And I didn't like it because everybody's like, oh, you have to go to sailing camp.
Uh-huh.
And then you kind of realize I don't really want to do sailing. But then I started to really like it once I made friends in it. And kind of once I started, like... looking forward to going to sailing, and looking forward to the friends I made, while sailing, and really my connection with the ocean just kind of started from that, I think, and I would always, I do a lot of fishing as a kid with my dad,
oh, awesome.
And with my dad, we would go out, like, every weekend. I think there was probably one summer when I was like 8 or 9 where we went like almost every weekend on our boat and went fishing. And I would just always look forward to the weekends going out with my dad, which was also a great bonding time with my dad as well. But it definitely helped develop my connection to the ocean, my passion for it.
Yeah. You mentioned surfing too, right?
Yes, actually. Yeah. My dad got me surfing. My dad's been a surfer for a while growing up. He grew up in New Jersey. Right near the ocean as well, so he got me into surfing, and my twin brother actually as well into surfing at the same time. Though I actually started like coming more attached to like going and doing stuff on the water more than my twin brother, though.
Yeah.
Surfing really probably helped take off my passion for the ocean and love for the ocean as well. Just from being able to just kind of go to the beach and kind of be in my own little world and kind of like the way that I describe, like even now, like even when I was a kid, like I could feel it, but it's more of a connection to me now is like, I'll go to the beach and like, I'll get in the water and my head just clears and that there's like nothing, you're thinking about nothing.
Yeah.
It's like that. And then I started realizing how much of an actual like love I have for being in the water and being on the water for sure.
It's really an amazing thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
I'm so jealous.
I know. I'm jealous of the surfing.
I'm jealous of, like, living on the water.
Right? No,
Yeah. It's definitely... I'm very, very, very fortunate. Like, even, like, going to school in the Midwest, you realize, like, how much I miss the ocean. Because going back, like, honestly, you have to really leave someplace to realize that you really love it.
Truly,
and, like, all I can talk about is Maine. Like, obviously, you guys have probably heard how much Maine
does
means
talk
to
about
me,
Maine
but,
a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, do you feel kind of landlocked? I've always felt kind of landlocked here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, part of it is honestly, like, I'm so used to, like, being able to go to the boat ramp that's literally a 3-minute walk from my house and just, like, sit and actually see the horizon. Like, it's weird, like, being in the Midwest where you're kind of, like, you're seeing things, but it feels like you're kind of in, like, a bit of a snow globe. Like, you're in a snow globe, but in the sense of, like, your only real peripheral vision is really just like what is directly in front of you. Mm-hmm. And you don't really get like the vast expanse that you would get like being in the mountains or being just on the ocean as well. Cause you can see, you go offshore and you start to see the curvature of the earth and it's earth. Cause there's just like nothing, there's something beautiful, like not seeing anything. And like Michigan or just like being in the middle of the country, it's like you realize how like flat everything is. Uh-huh. And like if there's anything and you're blocking your way, like buildings, it's like you can't see anything. Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, I live in like a, just like a, kind of like a valley area kind of almost.
Oh, really?
And all we have near us like water-wise is like this man-made lake that's like absolutely disgusting called Sessions. And it has like a cool trail around it that we always do. But it's not the same thing as, like, being on the water. Even, like, for you, being on the lake.
I'm definitely lucky enough to live in Traverse City, where I'm surrounded by Lake Michigan. And so I've grown up by the water, too. Not the ocean, but it's still amazing to be on Lake Michigan.
It's still
and I
a
definitely
little bit
understand
more.
What you're talking about.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah. So you feel landlocked here, right? No water.
Indefinitely.
But,
yes.
Like, Michigan does have the best program, or one of the best programs for what you're doing.
Yeah, so it's a great segue into
good job.
into Naval Architecture and Marine Engineering, or NAME for short. Some people call it NAME-y, but NAME.
NAME-y.
I don't know. I watched a YouTube video today where it was like, NAME-y at Michigan.
Oh,
I'm like,
doesn't
have a good ring.
It.
I feel like NAME is better.
It spells the word NAME.
Yeah.
So why would you say anything else?
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, that career path is pretty much like the science behind building boats, designing boats, testing boats, just all things boats. Mm-hmm. Which, like, definitely, I think, going back to being from Maine, I was growing up a lot in that industry, mm-hmm. Watching just, like, my dad, who's actually a part of the seafood industry, and he used to, going through, like, we had two boats when I was younger, and then recently got a new boat, and then just kind of being on the water, but I think that developed my like idea of, this is maybe something I'm really interested in. But yeah.
Was that ever like incorporated into any sort of like summer job or internship? I don't know.
Yeah. So honestly, like the best way to start about talking about where I like found my career path was, mm-hmm. was through, I went to an alternative high school. I went to a charter high school.
Right.
So from middle school, right at the end of middle school, excuse me. I, like, started realizing, like, I kind of want to do something in engineering. And this was kind of figured out from, like, I had always grew up kind of watching, like, it really started, like, my personal statement to get into Michigan was about my connection with 3D printers and 3D printing. For whatever reason, I got very...
Wait, little story?
Yeah, because you have, like, the 3D printing business.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. You have a business?
Yes. Well, it's kind of... I don't need to shout out my business because it's kind of no longer a thing.
But
I'm not
made.
I had one. Like, yeah. So I started one at my sophomore year of high school. Sophomore year. I started like this just because I had been fixing printers for people and kind of like my mom's school had a bunch of 3D printers that I was just constantly fixing. So I knew the ins and outs of printers and I had built a few at my high school. So I just kind of knew like a lot about 3D printers and how they worked, so I just made a website and made it official, so it was kind of joke, but it really, like, I've had a few people still reach out to me because I kept my website up, but I deactivated the email because I got tired of people asking saying, no, I can't do this anymore, so, but that's a real, like, that's really how I got my start into engineering was through just kind of tinkering with 3D printers, and tinkering with different parts and just figuring out how everything worked. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really common story because you hear these engineers who like go on to build companies and things and they all started tinkering with something.
Right, right.
Like taking something apart and putting it back together, which was like, I literally almost burned down my house building my first 3D printer. So, and that's what my personal statement was on.
Yeah, really? Wow. Okay. Well, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Excuse
that's
me.
Cool. And you get better.
Yeah.
Yeah,
not burning
definitely.
Your house. For sure.
Definitely.
So in the NAME program, do you do a lot of stuff like that?
So not really yet,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Okay.
I mean, it's after still being a freshman, you're still taking prerequisite classes, which are just like I was literally just saying this earlier. It's like it takes all the fun out of engineering. Mm-hmm. I think really the program of a first year engineer is really designed to make sure that you really want to be an engineer, because right. you got so it shows you all the crappy stuff that you have to do uh-huh. first, without showing you what all the benefits of being mm-hmm. an engineer and yeah, yeah. all the fun things are. Because like when you're an engineer, like I get motivated to build things in CAD. Like I spent in high school, I found CAD through one of my first CAD classes, and I spent hours and hours and days in SolidWorks, which is a CAD program, which is 3D modeling. Uh-huh. And I just remember being like, damn, I really want to do this. Like, this is something I get motivated about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, someone actually described me recently where they were like, you know you're really into something when you procrastinate on other things uh-huh. and work on the thing that you're really into.
Yeah, no, yeah. absolutely.
Yeah.
Side hobby, passion.
It's sure. a side yeah. hobby, like, you know, you hear these people, like, one of my friends is a really, like, great photographer, and she just, like, doesn't want to do school. She just wants uh-huh. to do, like, photography, which is, it's work, you know? It, yeah. Like, you yeah. put in a lot of work to
and,
it.
And, like, you can... People like obviously make careers out of
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So yeah. 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 So I think I kind of found that once. I found that early and was able to find that early
yeah.
due to my exposure to engineering with the charter high school for engineering I went to. So
I think it's such a cliche, but it's also like if you do what you love and find a job that you love, like you'll never work a day in your life.
Right.
I think that's so.
It's a total right. cliche, so but it's so true. Yeah. It's so yeah. true.
Why put so much time and effort into something that you don't like?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. I 100% agree
it's
with
like
that.
It's like your entire life. It's your career. And it's,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can obviously, you know, have a career switch. My mom, she did like math for a while. And then she was like, you know, screw it. I'm going to be a nurse.
Right.
Wow, that's quite a switch.
So, yeah. I mean, it's a possibility to change, uh-huh. but it's completely, it's, I don't yeah. know, it's sometimes hard and it's always right. not financially available. But if you can find that like passion right away, I think that it's
awesome.
Makes
yeah.
life so much more fun.
Yeah.
But
I've always kind of been fascinated by the name students.
Yeah.
So what do you like?
Oh my
you're
God.
Doing like the crappy engineering stuff you say right now.
Right.
Like
right.
what do the next few years look like? What's the cool stuff that you
The
get to
cool
do?
Stuff? The one thing I'm so excited for, like all this crappy stuff now, like Calc 1 and Calc 2, like I took Calc 1 in high school. The Michigan math is dumb and annoying. So I have to take it again, and then it's just like the what I'm like constantly thinking about when I'm doing that garbage classwork
uh-huh.
is the class I'm taking next semester for my first class uh-huh. the first name class is hydrodynamics and ship design class
okay.
which is wow. just like that's pretty much just like learning about how ship design works and using math and engineering to like uh-huh. design ships which is a lot of what NAME is it's like testing things, figuring out how to make things efficient, how to make mm-hmm. things work for people. Like if somebody like really, yeah, like where most people go and like what naval architecture marine engineering is really just kind of people will go and work at a firm that either gets like clients who want like say a new ferry system wants a new ferry that's super fast, super efficient, does this thing and this thing. So the really naval architecture and marine engineer is going to design that ship to okay. fit their need.
Okay.
So yeah, so that's kind of where I would be ending up. But ideally where I want to end up is designing sailboats. But unfortunately like a market for sailboats is not as much as like a market mm-hmm. for people. And the money really isn't in sailboat design. It's more in the commercial aspect of like
right.
building shipping containers that are super efficient or, mm-hmm. Or honestly, to continue with my passion for the ocean, really what I want to end up doing is combining my career with some sort of sustainability and giving back to the ocean.
That's
really
that.
What,
yeah,
what I want to do.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love all the, I don't know. I think just being here is really cool and really conducive to like exploring those avenues too.
Uh-huh.
You just mm-hmm. take like one class and like,
yeah.
like earth stuff and you're like,
yeah,
oh, perfect. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
But
right.
It's so fun.
So what else? What else in NAME?
Yeah.
So
that class?
Yeah. NAME has some other cool classes. Like their hydrodynamics is also really cool. There's a whole big tow tank at the University of Michigan, which is actually in West Hall. I mean, everybody's walked
no,
by it
I've
at least
been
once.
I've been there. I've ridden over it.
Wait, actually, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had an intro to oceanography class.
There you
we
go.
There.
So
really cool.
So yeah, that's the MHL. Marine Hydrodynamics Laboratory. Uh-huh. So there's some classes that you take where you'll design a model and then get to test it in the model basin, which is basically just a big deep tank,
yeah.
long tank that you pull ships through and like can create waves and which is really interesting and cool, just playing yeah, with absolutely. Toys like that.
Yeah.
Engineers are just kids at heart. They just want to build cool toys. They just graduated from Legos to playing with bigger toys.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
That's
really cool.
That's fun.
Yeah. So you were talking about like commercial, that's where most people go.
Right.
With this degree. Yourself, like 10 years from now, what's your ideal, like, what exactly
position
are you doing?
In life.
Where are you living? Are you back in Maine? Are you back, like, on the coast somewhere?
There's the question, the big question, which you could ask anybody in college. I don't think they have the right answer.
Right.
To what they're probably going to end up doing.
It's going
to
change a million times.
It's going to change a million times,
yeah.
but...
What does it look like now?
It's, right now, I'm really, like, what motivates me is, like, getting my hands dirty and building things. Mm-hmm. So ideally in 10 years, I'll probably have, I would love to be able to, I love Maine a lot. Uh-huh. I also want to experience like another country. I really haven't been out of the country that much. I've been to the Virgin Islands and that's pretty much it.
Where would you go?
I would love to, there's a lot of good industry in, some of the Baltic Sea, like, Croatia actually has a lot of industry. Wow. I don't know if I want to go to Croatia that badly. I mean, Croatia's in the middle of Europe. I don't know. I haven't been to Europe, so I wouldn't know.
Right, right.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, I'd want to try things because you never know what you really find, may find a place that you really like. And I honestly, one of my top destinations and has a insane amount of naval architecture industry is New Zealand.
Okay.
There's a few parts of New Zealand that have a lot of industry for naval architecture, and specifically the type of naval architecture I want to do, which is sailboat design.
Right, right.
And there's lots of new designs that come out of New Zealand that I love, and I'm thinking that they're like that area is kind of like the Silicon Valley of naval architecture.
Okay.
I think.
That's awesome.
And it pretty much always has been. Uh-huh. Like all the America's Cup sailboats come out of there, or designs come out of there. Big naval architecture guys come out of there as well. But yeah. That's kind of where I want to end up.
Okay.
Somewhere, either back in Maine, which I love, but I also want to experience
of
something
course,
else.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or New Zealand.
Or New Zealand.
Or somewhere else.
There
in
you
Australia.
Go.
Australia is gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
Australia as well. Australia's, love to go to Australia.
Australia's really fun.
Uh-huh.
Been there 7 years ago now?
Okay.
Six years ago? But, yeah, gorgeous.
Which coast?
I'm by that direction's east.
East coast.
Yes.
Yeah. What were you doing there?
Well, my uncle moved out. My uncle works for like for Whirlpool, and he moved out.
Oh.
Some short term job there, but they moved out. He moved his family out there, and my cousins were all in the school, so we went to go visit them and just say hi. And they were like, I think the oldest one probably was like 8 at the time.
Okay.
So they were young.
Yeah, yeah.
But we went out and visited them, hung out there for a couple of weeks, went to Sydney and saw all the fun sights.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, some Bondi Beach action.
Yeah.
Really fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'd love to do some surfing in Australia.
Yeah.
Very much. Almost went for actually a month in my junior year, but then COVID hit.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Who would you have gone with?
I have a really good friend from my home who I went to high school with, who I met in high school, Lang. And Lang actually going back to like my passion for the ocean, he probably helped a lot with kind of developing kind of what I wanted to do, because he does a lot with he worked for a company called Parlay, which was this company based out of Hawaii, where they do a lot of ocean action. Like he went to Hawaii and did like ocean uprising stuff, where they did like beach cleanups and kind of just went and planned out stuff to make like Hawaii Oahu more sustainable, and like went and talked to the government there and all that kind of cool stuff. But he kind of talked to me about that, and that kind of, I think that inspired me a lot as well too. But yeah,
be a cool trip to take.
Yeah,
it would be
to
a cool
like
trip.
Hawaii and just help clean up the ocean.
Yeah,
so cool.
He's a brilliant kid, great engineer as well. He's going into engineering as well. But I think me and him actually have like very similar career paths. That we want to do is do something with engineering, possibly the ocean. I don't think he's as into like doing stuff like with the ocean, but we both want to do something in sustainability and engineering.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Really cool.
Sorry, go ahead.
Have you thought about like a minor at the school? Like in like, I don't know.
I did think about a minor. At first, my dad has his MBA, and he got it after graduating from his undergrad. Mm-hmm. He got a biology undergrad, but now he works in business. But which is a very common story. You'll hear people getting their MBA.
Yeah, that's both my parents. Yeah.
Exactly. So, and he was like, you know what? You could, like, with Ross being such a well-known business school, you could get a minor, you know.
Why not?
It's how expensive it already is to go here. And plus...
just add on more credits.
Yeah, with the out-of-state tuition and then more credits and Ross being more expensive. Yeah, so there's that. But I think... I don't know. I like the idea of it. I like the idea of having more of like an expansive... resume that has a business aspect to it as well as an engineering aspect, which like you talk to Elon Musk in an interview once said he is still an engineer at heart. Like he is not a businessman. He said he called himself an engineer. You know, it's like, I mean, there's some engineers who just are diehard. Like they idolize Elon. I don't like, I don't know. He's cool. Built a car. Yeah. Great. Has SpaceX. Cool. You could hate on me for as much as you want for like not digging Elon, but it's like, I don't know. I think he's one of those guys who the ego took over after the engineering,
before the engineering thing did.
Because real engineers like he's continuously striving to make things that are cool and better, but I think the kind of profit aspect does take a hold of at you at some point of building things. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I would say if you're looking for, like, a business intersectionality with environmental stuff, me and Ella are in a class right now, Environment 208, Business and the Environment is actually the name of the course.
Really?
So, yeah. Ooh. That was really fun.
That like, would be really
it's
cool.
It's not a case studies, obviously, like, but it's, you just kind of, like, learn about tactics, like, in business.
Yeah.
And kind of how they're implementing them and a lot of the problems that are, like, in the industry that you don't ever hear about because it's so covered up, like, through all this red tape, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I'd recommend that one.
Dang, like okay. I will definitely look into it because that's kind of what I want to do is like, also another thing that like interests me and like I kind of find interesting. Well, I listen to a bunch of podcasts as well. And one of the podcasts I listen to is How I Built This with Guy Raz,
which
is an NPR. I heard that was really good. Yep. Yeah. And he brings on like different entrepreneurs and founders. And it's pretty much just like a interview with them, and I find a lot of that stuff interesting of how some founders got their start. Like I listened to Dell Computers founder. He started his business out of his dorm room as well as Mark Zuckerberg. Like a lot of people dropping out of college to start businesses. I mean, I'm not saying I'm gonna drop out of college, but it's like don't worry parents, it's okay. It's really interesting to hear that. I think entrepreneurship is something that really attracts me as well, and especially entrepreneurship with sustainability.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of focus on it right now. If you can, if companies can highlight it and tap it on that market right now, I mean, there's profit to be made there. So
there's also a lot of
really good effects. Yeah.
Yeah, I literally just wrote an essay about this too. For my Caribbean literature class, which was on, I had to take a 300 level humanities class, and it's actually an awesome class.
That
recommend
sounds
it.
Amazing.
But we just wrote our papers on how to, giving an idea to like a government in the Caribbean on how to incorporate sustainability into their economy and how to make tourism more sustainable. And one of the kind of things I stated in my essay was like, there's such a big market with people like who are like-minded people who want to like travel and do tourist things and benefit the environment.
Yeah.
You know, where you're paying a service to do something and go a place to help the environment in that place or help the economy in that place that will and make sure that that economy is giving back to the environment, which I think is a really like something like doesn't have to be just maximizing profits, which is, I mean, kind of like how most of the little Caribbean governments work is the people with the most money have the most say, which kind of how capitalism works. But it's like you really see it on a really smaller scale when that comes in, when somebody from an offshore entity comes in and throws money at something to build a new building or something. Like, but yeah, you look at like those case studies of like Barclays Bank, for example, and like they could be doing so much because they have so much power in those small Caribbean islands, but they're not. You know, you could throw in like marketing towards like people, not to say like Patagonia people, you know, it's like people who like want to support a company that is supporting the environment. Right. Like you see those companies and they're doing amazing. And that business model is amazing because people like it'll, it not only does it give back to the environment, it boosts, it can boost product sales. And like you could literally find such a good market and market base as well, because people will love your company more if you're really giving back to the environment, which is something like if I ever started a company, I would really foster that in and make sure that those ideals are happening.
It's kind of like a slightly off topic thing, but I know for Coldplay, just like for their tour coming up, that I'm going to, they decided to not tour for such a long time just because of like the concerns of like a world tour or even like a US tour on the environment.
Oh, really?
And so they found a way to make it carbon neutral, I believe.
That's awesome.
So yeah, and they just like started it back up. So which is like just like there's ways of making things happen. Yeah, right. You know what I mean?
You just
I
have to take the time.
I feel like doing like a trip planning thing plus other things like with each ticket that's purchased.
It's a small price to pay
completely
for the longevity of the earth.
Yeah,
honestly.
The earth.
I think
us.
Well us, but both. But really it's like you're it's all about taking that first step of like, okay, we're gonna like, because you see these companies who are still trying to like say that they're like, oh yeah, we're doing this and this, but then you're doing that and that that are really the problem.
Greenwashing is huge.
Yes, I forgot about that term.
You just like slap a green label on something, you say, oh, it's really great for the environment, people see a leaf on it, buy it, and then it's absolutely horrible.
And you realize what they're actually doing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's a mess. I think Evelyn has a coral reefs class and she's like just kind of sad about the way they're going based on what's happening right now. I'm like just like the destruction of it over a very short course of time is insane. Just like how much can be done.
It really is.
Yeah.
I remember reading this, I forget the name of the book, but my dad would always like somehow there would be a book on my desk and he'd be like, read it. And it would kind of just end up there.
And you went there every week.
Yeah. Not every week, but there would be a book on my desk at some point. And I forget what the name of it was. It'll come to me maybe. But it would really just like, it was almost just like a graphic novel that told a story about a kid and his dad going and diving in like Hawaii, or it didn't really give a location. And like snorkeling and seeing all these fish and then coming back 10 years later and not seeing the same coral reef.
Yeah.
And that, I think that was like the first time where I was like, well, shit, like this is going to happen. Like, I don't know. When you're a kid, you're malleable and you just see one thing and it's like, oh, this is happening.
Yeah.
And I went and talked to my dad. I'm like, is this actually going to happen? Like in tears. And he's like, well, no, I mean, but like, how are you supposed to respond to that?
Know,
you know,
right.
It's like nobody knows, but we can see the signs. You know, it's really like the writing is on the wall. We just got to do something.
Yeah.
So, to talk more about your future, though, do you have any sort of plans that align with what you're doing now for like this upcoming summer? Returning to
Maine.
That's
a good question. Yeah.
That is a good question. Yeah, this summer I'm probably going to be doing kind of similar to what I've been doing in past summers, but I have my captain's license, so I drive a boat, so I drive people out to their boats. I wish I would be able to do something more sustainable. I mean, I also maybe might help my dad. He runs a bottom cleaning business where he scrubs bottom of boats. I don't know how sustainable, really, like I could... could kind of incorporate my passion for that is, but I don't know. I'd love to be working on more little projects. Like in high school, I did a lot of little projects where I just kind of like would research something and then make something. Like, I built hydrofoils for my laser.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like, just that, that's, like, what my love, my passion is really just, like, finding something that really interests me and just continuously doing it. Okay. I don't know. But, yeah, or awesome. Finding new things to do yeah. and build.
I'm wondering, is there, like, kind of a different fuel source, like, for boats that, like, I don't know, could be a potential, like, avenue in the future for that kind of stuff?
Really, that is a really good question, and honestly, at the moment, going back to maximizing profits and maximizing yeah. speed, because everything needs to be fast, 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 new, mm-hmm. it's like, people, the first fully autonomous electric boat yeah. was launched in Iceland. Okay. And it only really, because of the limited range, and it's a fully electric ferry and cargo boat, you really lose a lot because of how much the batteries weigh, uh-huh, right. which is unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But I think really the paper I read on that design was really just based on we need a better battery, uh-huh. which is like really, I think, alternative fuel sources. One thing that is very, very promising is the fuel efficiency of hydrogen.
Right, okay.
And yeah. we can start to kind of see cars kind of headed in the electric like side of hydrogen, but or more electric than an EV vehicles uh-huh. Than hydrogen powered vehicles. But for boating and for the naval architecture industry, I think hydrogen may be a very, very promising fuel source in the near years. But really, it just takes. Not to get, like, too sciencey, it's, like, taking... it's being able to produce hydrogen really sustainably. Because okay, right yeah. now, it's really hard to bake hydrogen. Uh-huh. And it's really expensive. Hydrogen is not cheap.
Yeah.
But once you have it, it is extremely efficient at creating power. And it's extremely efficient because it literally... You have an hydrogen engine, and its only exhaust is water.
Okay, yeah.
It's
yeah,
H2O.
Yeah.
It's,
which is actually probably... I don't know, a bit helpful.
Exactly. Like, and you can, and you anybody. Can, it's all about just
yeah.
knowing how to break the hydrogen oxygen bond, which is not easy because it's one of the stronger bonds. If you have a hydrogen based boat and you're in the water, uh-huh. you have all this hydrogen just floating around you. Uh-huh. So being able to break that and efficiently, subs actually do it, with, a little bit. Submarines have like their own little some of them have obviously nuclear generators, but some of them also have some hydrogen power generation, which okay. is really interesting. Okay. And oxygen generation. Okay. Actually, leaning back to the water being around you, the way that subs generate oxygen is through breaking that bond in electrolysis, which okay. is which breaks the hydrogen bond a little bit, but you don't get the hydrogen as much out of it. You still have a hydrogen and oxygen bond that you have to deal with, but that's how you get hydrogen out of it.
Yeah. I feel like wow. this is a little science class.
It is
yeah,
a little sciencey. So sorry, I'm going too sciencey.
No,
no,
not at all.
No, we need
this
that.
This is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have your captain's license, right?
Yes.
Would you ever consider, like, in the future doing more with that as opposed to just making the boats or designing them?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think I don't know. I love sailing.
Uh-huh.
I've sailed my whole life and I want to continue to sail. But really, if I kind of pursue that more, it's kind of like you really have to be committed to make it. Like, because mm-hmm. if you either go into like driving boats, you either go into merchant marine industry, which is what my cousin is a merchant mariner,
okay.
And he's currently on a boat that goes from Valdez, Alaska to San Jose, California, back and forth, or like that kind of side of naval architecture and marine engineering is really, I don't know, I don't need to be on the boats, but I'd love to continue sailing uh-huh. and possibly run maybe a fishing charter with a captain's license.
Cool.
Yeah. I've thought about that a lot, but that takes a lot of insurance and uh-huh. a guiding permit.
Sure, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But You want to keep sailing. That's
definitely
great. That's awesome.
Definitely want to keep sailing.
That's a plan.
Yeah. As long as I live, I want to be able to go on my boat and or have a boat that I can sail.
Yeah. Cool. Competitively or just for fun?
I'd love to continue sailing racing, but I don't need a race. I like cruising too, but I do, my, like, for the rest of my life, I want to be able to, like, race competitively, but not, like, my grandpa, Gordon Sr., raced up until he was 65.
Wow, yeah.
Competitively. He won Key West Race Week 8 times.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so he's very, 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 I don't know if it was 8 times, but he's a very good sailor, so I've got some big shoes to fill in that sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know, I'd love to keep sailing. That's definitely a big passion of mine.
Good.
That's so fun. Yeah. All right, is it I Heart time?
I think it is.
I Heart section time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Liv, do you want to start us off today?
Yeah, so, of course, my thing is, like, true crime, right?
Yes.
A couple episodes ago, that was a little feature.
Yeah.
And I've been watching a lot of shows kind of, you know, related to it, and Hulu has a couple of new ones coming out. One's about Pam Hupp, who, like, had killed her best friend. I won't spoil it.
Okay.
But
ooh,
that's the premise of it. And it's kind of like a back and forth, and her character is just very dynamic, so it's really interesting. And then the other one that just came out yesterday is the Girl from Plainville, which is about Michelle Carter.
Wait, yes, I just saw, I don't know the story, but I just saw the trailer for that movie.
So she, like,
I feel like I've heard of it, yeah.
It's about kind of how she...
Yeah, that's a weird story.
Kind of influenced her boyfriend to kill himself, and it's like, did she get called for, like, homicide, or, like, is that... Or, like, manslaughter charges.
Uh-huh.
It's just, like, kind of the whole thing. So it's very creepy.
That's interesting,
actually.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
Yeah, so just new TV shows that are coming out. And I guess I'm glad that I kind of had my plans finalized for summer. Doing research and then kind of a bank job and still working outside at the strawberry farm, so...
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Sounds busy. Jeez.
Yeah,
jeez.
But it'll be fun. Yeah. I need to balance the, like, inside bank job with being outside at the strawberry fields.
Yeah.
So otherwise I would go insane.
Very good plan.
So...
Very good plan.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But...
Yeah. What about you, Gordon?
I Heart this week probably would be, I found this new YouTuber who I've, like, not stopped watching. It's a little kind of dumbed up, but it's a little, like, but it's still, like,
I mean,
embodies
what
I really love. It's, but it's this guy who just, like, goes out into the bush of Australia, and goes, like, and does, like, not challenges, but he just, like, goes and finds food and just, like, eats just only what he can find.
What's his name?
Nick Fry.
Okay, I was gonna say, if it's Bear Grylls.
No, not Bear Grylls. Not Bear Grylls. But he does, like, this, just, like, I don't know, it's a little, like, commercialized.
Okay.
I'm going into the Alaskan, or the Australian bluish, it's great. Yeah, I'm like, but it's, like, it's really, like, it's really cool. I don't know. It's stuff that I miss from Maine, where I could just kind of, like, go and be in my own world. Like, like how I love hiking and solo hiking I did this past summer, and he kind of just goes out solo. So, I don't know. I think I live vicariously through that energy.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Minus all the weird Australian slang.
And the accent,
yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I'm embarrassed to say that when I came back from Australia in 7th grade, I was like, I'm going to have an accent.
Oh,
and I
my
came
God.
Back and I was like trying to convince people that I had an accent.
That's hilarious.
And I kept it up for a little bit. And they didn't know what a real one sounds like in person.
Oh.
Some people believed me.
Wow. Okay.
I practiced a lot. But I don't know. I was really embarrassed. But
that's awesome.
For a few days, I kept it up.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God.
Just for attention.
Nice.
Anyways, why not?
Yeah.
Have some fun with it.
Yeah. Wait, where have you gone hiking? I'm solo hiking.
Baxter State Park in northern Maine.
Okay.
There's this kind of... Baxter State Park has, like, a bunch of lean-to trails that kind of go around the state. Around the park. And I did 3 days in the woods there, which was, like... I'm an Eagle Scout, so I did, like, a lot of hiking when I was a kid. But, like, going and being in the woods by yourself is, like, a totally different thing.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. I mean, you're just, like, I don't know, bear country. You're just, like, thinking, like, oh, a bear could, like, walk out and eat me.
Yeah.
Or, like, you see some moose. The moose are cool, but they're kind of scary because it's, like, a lot bigger than you.
Yeah.
And it's, like... right there, so it's a little freaky. But it's really weird because you're just kind of like, you got all this time to just kind of spend in your own head, which I think you got to learn to be able to do that because, you know, your best friend is yourself when you're like just with in the woods with nothing else.
Yeah, no one to talk to.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty cool. I've done a lot of hiking, but with friends.
Yeah.
Went backpacking with friends.
And a lot of family camping trips, which is
Family camping trips. Oh. No. Like everybody who's done a camping trip with their family has like that one story where.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Yes,
absolutely.
Oh, I want to know now.
Okay, so we have, like, two tents, right, uh-huh. that we just take with us. One's kind of, like, it's a quote-unquote six-person tent, but, like, we're very packed in there. Uh-huh. So it was four of us were in there, and then my brother and I were in a smaller tent, like a two-person tent,
okay.
Which we usually, like, reserve for, like, all of our bags of clothes and stuff like that. But either way, so we're in there. We're in the Porcupine Mountains up in Michigan, yeah.
Yeah, up in the UP,
right? In the UP. And Ryan, like, I was up reading a book super late, and I had, like, my headlamp on. I just finished the book. It was, like, 2 a.m. I closed the book, and Ryan was, like, moving around like a Kevin, kind of, like talking in his sleep.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like, oh, Ryan, what's wrong? Just talking to him. And he leans over and, like, socks me in the nose. And I'm like, and I'm oh my God. And I'm just screaming because, like, I didn't know what happened. Uh-huh. There's blood everywhere. My dad comes out of the tent. He's like, shut up. People are, like, right next to us in the campsite over. But, yeah, and then I won't ever forget that because I had, like, a black eye.
Oh my God.
Like,
yeah.
For, like, the rest of the camping trip because it was at the very beginning of it. Oh, no. And I couldn't sleep in the tent with him anymore. So.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Wow. It wasn't great, but it's a story to tell about camping.
Yeah.
It's an adventure.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Your turn.
I have two. I'll share them briefly. So, my all-time favorite show, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, dropped its fourth season weeks ago. I'm a little bit behind, but I just binge-watched that whole season, so I was very happy to be able to watch it again. And then also, we just started, like, our spring sailing seasons. Kind of will relate to the rest of the episode, but I've been sailing out, and it's been windy, and it's been cold, and it's been snowing while we're on the water.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy, but I love it. I love that I can't feel my toes or my hands, and the snow is in my eyes, but it is so cool to be out there in the spring and to get to do that. So that's something that's been making me very happy lately.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I think that's all we have for today.
I think we're wrapping up.
Gordon, thank you for joining us.
No problem. Yes, thank you for having me. I know. You guys get to learn about electrolysis and boats.
Hydrogen fuel.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's totally. A new avenue. I love it.
You're going to do big things.
Thank you.
Things.
I hope so. I hope so. If I can get through these Calc 2 and
Physics 140.
Stupid stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Anyways, well, thank you for being on again.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah.
And that's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right. Bye.
Bye.